Welcome back to the Nerdrotic channel. My name is Gary Beekler. I am live in San Francisco, California, and I come to you from nerdrotic.com. And today we're talking about Doctor Who season 11, episode 4, Arachnids in the UK. Oh, that was terrible. I won't do that again. I'm sorry. So this will be a short one, folks. Where do we start? Well, hey, let's start out with spoilers. I'm going to spoil some of the episode. I'm not going to go through it in detail. Thank you, Viking Bitch, for the spoiler paddle. We love it. I'm not going to go. We usually go over episodes in detail. I'm just going to give a rundown of the plot, and we'll get to the good points, the bad points, and then I'll get to you in the chat. So we are back in. We start out the episode. We're not quite back in Yorkshire yet. We start out the episode in a hotel with a hotel owner who may look familiar, Mr. Big from Sex and the City. I only know that through Mrs. Nerdrotic. I have never seen an episode of that show. But it was Mr. Big, and he's playing a hotel owner, a obnoxious hotel owner in the show. And he might be recognizable. Now, we don't get into politics here, so I'm going to try to dance around that as much as I can. But he starts out there. Apparently, there's some problem with his niece's wife. They need to fix it. A woman walks in the middle of this conversation and immediately gets fired. Which sounds, again, familiar, very familiar with somebody we may know. And then we get to the TARDIS arriving back in Yorkshire, and we see Graham and Ryan and Yaz are all returning back. The doctor's going to go off on her own. She looks sad. She gets invited to tea, so she goes off with Ryan and Yaz, and Graham goes back home by himself to finally deal with the grief of losing his wife. I'll briefly say right now that the best thing throughout all of these episodes has been Graham. Graham has been a wonderful character and a good companion, and I like Graham a lot. You can have good things within bad shows sometimes. And what we try to do here is be tough. We're tough sometimes, but we're fair. We try to be fair. All right. So the doctor goes to Yaz's family. We meet them briefly. She notices a lady out in her phone and she looks troubled. The doctor asks if anything's up. At first she says no, but then they go back and they figure out that we meet Jade, and she's looking for her friend Anna, who hasn't been in the work for a couple days or something. They go into the apartment. Also throughout this, we're seeing like little spider webs everywhere. They go in the apartment. It's filled with spider webs. They find Anna is wrapped in a spider web, suffocated and dead. And they find a pretty big spider, you know, about this big. And they run from it. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. Now, apparently, Jade is some sort of spider expert and knows that that's just a domestic spider that's obviously larger than it should be. And she's looking into it. The doctor susses out that Jade knows more than she's letting on, and she finally says, yeah, we have been actually genetically manipulating spiders to, get an enzyme to prolong life and also do something with the webbing. in the meantime, we have Graham. We're also dealing with the side story of Graham dealing with the grief of his wife. He goes back home and he's, smelling her clothes, and it's pretty sad. And he's seeing a vision of her telling him to move on. It's time for him to, you know, he's got to take out the trash and do all the stuff on his own. Then he hears a thump upstairs. He goes upstairs and he sees a big spider as well. He runs back to Yaz's family house where they all get together and they realize there's something up with the spiders. So they go to Jade's lab where they give us a little more educational information about spiders. And one thing I did notice throughout this whole episode, and I'm sure you guys did too, that they were very apologetic about making spiders the bad guy. So I don't know if in the UK, you know, things are a little weird there right now. So in the UK, they might have to have a checklist that PETA has given to them that, spiders are not bad. They are just simply they're an insect and they aren't evil. And we were told this many times throughout the episode. So we find out the spiders continue to grow, and they're growing, and there's something up, and they're all trying to communicate with each other, and they find that there's one center location, and it's the hotel. So they go to the hotel where they meet, and we also find out that the woman who was fired at the beginning of the episode was Yaz's mom. So Yaz had called, Yaz's mom had called her to meet her at the hotel. So she's at the hotel. Everybody arrives at the hotel. But at first we meet Robertson, who's an obnoxious hotel owner, who's famous and collects guns and might be running for president. So, and the way they work it in basically is he doesn't like our current president. So he's running against him, although he's exactly what some may see our current, a very cartoonish version of maybe what our president may be. They run around the hotel and they find that the spiders are actually under the hotel. There's a giant spider there, and it had been growing because the hotel was built on an old coal mine that they repurposed the land, and they also have been disposing of the rubbish, the trash down there. So it's a landfill. That is where the lab has been disposing of the dead spider carcasses as well. So something mutated them and caused them to grow too large. And they're all, you know, all their signals are messed up. And one of the things they repeat over and over is the spiders aren't acting like they normally should. They should not be attacking humans, even at this size. So again, very apologetic for making the spiders the bad guy. But the real bad guy in this is obviously Robertson. So, he does things like lets his bodyguard get pretty much wrapped up and killed by the spider. The spider comes up through the bathroom, through the bottom of a tub, and attacks Robertson, and he throws his bodyguard in there to get wrapped up in the web. The only thing he's worried about is losing his cell phone. So, and the bodyguard actually tries to reach for his cell phone as he's dying, which was actually kind of funny. So the doctor kind of figures out that it's just all the spiders are being drawn to this hotel. They go and they find the giant spider. They're going to try to figure out how to trap one to figure out what's going on. They do, but they end up being pursued by spiders. So, there's a lot of spider effects, and they're done okay. And there's a giant spider in a ballroom, and it's supposed to be kind of a gaudy hotel as well. They eventually, get to the spider in the ballroom, but the spider dies on its own from growing too large and suffocating. But before it can do that, of course, Robertson comes in and shoots it. And I think he does state at one point in the episode that what's wrong with you people in the UK? If we just see a problem, we shoot it, because that's what we do over here. We just shoot everything. There's somebody at my door, I'm going to go shoot them. That's what we do over here. Oh man. So they defeat the spider. The spider defeats himself, and Robertson takes off saying, "I'm going to be in the White House someday." And Graham says, "God help us." Then they end up going back to Yaz's family's house, and the mom kept on asking throughout the entire episode who the doctor is and how she knows her daughter, even though her daughter is like full grown woman. I don't know. The other side story, of course, was Ryan receiving a letter from his birth father saying he can live over with him because he's proper family. And it looked like there was almost going to be a resolution between Graham and Ryan, but not quite. Graham, of course, is dealing with the grief. So what they decide to do is that's what leads them all to go off with the doctor and be the full-on companions. Now they make a conscious decision. Ryan and Graham are both dealing with grief and they really have nothing left. So it kind of makes sense for them to go with the doctor. Yaz wants something more out of her life. Her family drives her crazy. So she wants to go. And of course the doctor, tells them that this is dangerous. You're not going to come back the same. Graham said, that's probably a good thing because I'm dealing with grief. The doctor should almost like have a little video to show all the of previous companions, kind of to show what's up, to be real honest. But she doesn't do that. She's just happy. And of course they take off. Now what worked in the episode was honestly very little. It was the writing on this show. We're kind of seeing what we're going to get now. We're in the fourth episode. This is where, a show kind of gets its feet under it and they start running. If you think back to previous Doctor Who seasons, they didn't always start out perfect. The first episode, the first official episode of Tenet was okay. It was all right. But they have better ones and it gets improves. But you can see early on in the Russell T Davey years and even some in the early Moffitt years that they have some kind of, they know where they're going. They know where they're going with their characters. What it feels like to me we're getting is more of the same that we got with Stephen Moffat and Capaldi, which is, you know, unfair to Jodie Whittaker. Capaldi himself was a great doctor. He had some good episodes, but unfortunately none of them were written by Stephen Moffat. I think he had one decent Stephen Moffat episode, in my opinion. Jamie Matheson's Mummy on the Orient Express is my favorite Capaldi episode, and I think by far his best. And that one felt like a real true blue Doctor Who episode. The Missy stuff at the end was pretty good, I guess, but they never really, you know, Missy was a good master. I really liked her, but they didn't do anything with her, in my opinion, after that. That was really entertaining. And as we know, the Capaldi era just turned into a bunch of one-off episodes, inconsistency. He felt like a different doctor in different seasons. And again, he did the best he could. This is no shade on Capaldi at all. The guy was, like I said, he was a great doctor. I'll kind of look at him as the eighth doctor, somebody who really didn't get his proper due, you know? And if we keep getting writing like this, Jodie Whittaker, while not being the worst thing in the show at all, actually she's one of the better things in the show, her and Graham. And the companions are okay too, but the cartoonish bad guy that Robertson was, they only give him one name. And it was stupid for lack of a better word. And you know, it's just the kind of guy, it's like I said, it's a cartoon bad guy. That's all it was. You know, Doctor Who has done better than this. Okay. A lot better than this. So it's starting to just look like a show in its 11th season. So let's get to the chat here. Like I said, the good, in this episode, the Graham bits, you know, and maybe the doctor still acknowledging she's figuring herself out. Although it's blatantly a 10th doctor with you know, a little bit of fourth doctor, in there. The only thing she did do different that the other doctor, at least Stephen Moffat's doctor would never go off and have tea with anybody, or, you know, Tennant wouldn't either. So that, you know, no domestics. So, apparently the doctor is over, the possible PTSD from the Time War, which I doubt they're going to ever reference again. So let's get to the chat a little bit here. Thanks for allowing me to go over the episode. And here we go. Yes, there is a Big Finish crossover called Light at the End, and it's good. Light at the End is very good. And I don't have any more news on Torchwood that what Radio Times reported that, you know, there's just a possibility it could come back, and that would be great. I'd be happy about that. Maybe Chibnall can go right over there, because listen, he's written Doctor Who episodes before. The only one I can say I mean, they're okay episodes. I don't know. 42 maybe is his best episode. The Rainbow Doctor. Hello, Mako. Hello, Tikamon Blade. Hello, Tyon Ranger. How are you, Captain Robert April? I think I'd like to concentrate on Paul McCann, since he's a big unknown, and since Night of the Doctor essentially canonized his audio adventures. Yes. I don't know. You guys would know more than me. I am a pretty big Doctor Who fan. I kind of thought the Big Finish stuff was canonized. Is it not? I was under the impression it was. But Doctor Who canon is not like Star Trek canon. So, but all of McGann's audio venture stuff is great. It's great. Dark Eyes is great. Big Finish is awesome, man. I saw what you did there when he says they implied he is a certain politician, but then said he's going to run against him. Very weird. No, it's actually, I mean, it's a way of doing it without, I mean, it's semantics basically. I mean, they I don't want to say his name and his, but he is a certain politician, and they just made him hate that certain politician to maybe stave off some arguments, but didn't work. And you know, Moffat is as guilty as Chibnall of of course it's playing a joke that all Americans walk around, you know, toting guns and shooting everybody we see. No. Stephanie, I would say I was very tepid on this episode. They tried to make it fun again. I'll give it that. They made an attempt at fun. The actors are okay. There's nothing bad about the actors except for, Chris Noth playing Robertson was just over the top and silly and dumb. Yes, all spiders are evil. That was the thing that was cracking me up. And even Nerdrotic Jr. was noticing that. It's like, why are they apologizing for the spiders so much? And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. Who knows? Probably because, like I said, there's maybe some PETA checklist that the BBC has to check off before they write an episode. I don't freaking know. My God. Yeah, you are correct, Captain Robert Abril. You know, considering the Doctor's history with giant spiders, she was rather magnanimous. And I immediately got Kill the Moon vibe in the beginning when I saw the first, it looked like a spider husk, but it was the spider. And I just thought, I'm like, oh God, they're not really bringing that back, are they? Are they phobia shaming me? I have arachnophobia. Are they shaming me for that? Yes, they are, Tion. Oh man. If the Doctor goes on this very long arc going from PTSD Ninth Doctor to this one, the logical that the 13th Doctor would be lenient and not want to kill. This far in, yeah. That's I don't know how much connective tissue Chris Chibnall's Doctor is going to have with the previous seasons. It's feeling like Moffat's run already. Moffat wanted to separate himself from Davies, not as much as Chibnall is. I mean, they did bring the Daleks in earlier, even though Davies doesn't own that stuff, but he didn't bring a lot of Russell T. Davies stuff just to get Matt Smith's identity going. And yeah, it takes time, and everybody's going to do it different. But I don't think this was the writing is starting to concern me about the show. It really is. I must be an idiot, according to the Doctor. I always have a knife, a pen, and a flashlight on me. Good things to have. You're not an idiot, Matthew. I will vouch for that. Silver Spike, who is somebody whose opinion I respect. I respect all your opinions, guys. The writing this week was rather pedestrian, but it's still finding its feet. It is, but it was real pedestrian. It was written at a serious YA level. And, you know, hey, there can be arguments made that Doctor Who is YA and there's tons of YA stuff in it. And that's fine. Not all YA is like horrid trash. A lot of it, some of it's good. Depends on the writer. You know, it just depends on the writer. He has written all four episodes so far. And, with Moffat's era, he would write the first two and then give other people a crack. So Chibnall's really want, I don't know if he's writing every episode this season. Probably not. Who knows? But if this is what we're going to get, I'm not too sure. Now, it's what I brought up in my ratings videos is, are people going to stay on? You know, of course there was going to be a bunch of people in the beginning. There is always with a new doctor, and especially with a female doctor, there was going to be a lot more interest. And there was tons. It seems to me that, I mean, it's just a bigger hit in the UK than it is here. Although admittedly our ratings, the way we do our ratings over here is old and stupid. We need to, the UK does much better than we do. Christ, they canceled Luke Cage and Iron Fist based on a metric of people sharing on the internet. Not actual. I mean, they had, you know, Netflix has their viewing data, which they keep to themselves, but they also use this metric that's based on every time somebody shares something on Twitter or Facebook, and it could be positive or negative, but if somebody's talking about the show, they kind of count that as a click or a view. And the interest in those two shows was so low, according to that metric, that's why they canceled it. Hello, Tomcat. How are you doing? I still need to listen to my War Doctor Adventures, Big Finish. I haven't listened to them all. God, I've spent so much money with those people. Randall Gardner, Star Trek Discovery, Star Wars, recent movies, now Doctor Who, bad writing and plots only designed to promote identity politics, not continue franchise. Yep. And I read a quote on on last night's live stream during Castlevania that another YouTuber shared, but it's a damn good quote, talking about like sacrificing your character to basically score points. And that's a lot of that is going around right now. And that's a lot, you know, this is from experienced writers too. It's not just from newbies. You'd expect it from newbies. Like, you know, they got to work things out. The ninth doctor, the 10th doctor killed a giant spider. Well, yeah. I don't want to get up right now, but I have an action figure of her. It's the best action figure. Chibnall wants nothing to do with what Moffat did, apparently. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, kind of, you probably wouldn't blame it, but maybe, you know, dip into Russell T. Davies era. I mean, that era is great. I have no problem with anything. Even the bad episodes are good. You know, you're only as good as your bad guy. And that's what I'm starting. The theme I'm seeing so far is the villains are just going to be paper villains that are going to be there and they're just going to be bad. And they're going to be something for the doctor to defeat with no real stakes, no real worry that the doctor's in danger. And of course we know the doctor's never going to get killed, but Russell T. Davies was able to make things with stakes, with actual stakes. Maybe nothing happens to the doctor, but you were worried about companions. It feels like they are going full kid show, and that's great. You know, I think I read somewhere they did mention they might be doing that. So, Chibnall did not write the best episodes. No, Tekemon Blade, Chibnall's episodes during the Moffat or Russell T. Davies era were the most pedestrian. So it's looking, we're getting more pedestrian now. I thought Broadchurch was good. I thought it was a good show. It's dark, but it was good. Chibnall worked on some of the Torchwood stuff. That was good. So, I mean, maybe just, I don't know, that, like before this even happened, when they picked him, I wanted him to pick Jamie Matheson. I was a big fan of Jamie's interpretation of the Doctor and the way it was written. Flatline and Mummy on Orient Express were really good episodes with Capaldi. Gratfather says Bloody Steven Universe is written better than Chibnall's Who. and it does represent better and not that shoehorned somehow too. Yeah. It's not the politics themselves. It's how they're presented. Okay. But if it gets heavy handed and stupid and ideological, then you lose a lot of your audience, and you also date your stuff. So nobody's going to, when they watch it, you know, 10 years from now, it's going to look like it's 10 years old and sound like it's 10 years old. You know, the Tenet stuff is timeless. It is timeless. You can watch that whenever. A show like, I bring it up a lot lately because I'm just got it into it, Farscape, timeless show. You can watch that whenever. Yeah, you know, the effects are, but the storytelling is great. So, and I don't hate the effects that much. You know, I temper my expectations for TV effects. I do. But if I'm like paying for something like a show like Titans, I expect better effects. Grantfather says, a Nerdrotic channel, cartoony villains are really at odds with sour about dead grandma and Tenet cosplay Doctor Who too. Yes. Well, Grantfather, well said. Grafodder. I'm saying that right. Chibnall is the, Silver Spike. You cut so deep on this one that it's good. Chibnall is the Ron Howard of Doctor Who. Safe, but slightly dull, if not careful. And that's what I said in my ratings video, is fair or not to Jodie Whittaker, it needs to be extraordinary. It can't be pedestrian. It can't be just average. It can't be 6 to 7 out of 10 episodes. That's not going to hold your audience. You're going to hold the Doctor Who audience that was there all the time. But even they're going to start. I mean, a lot of them started bowing out with Capaldi. And if you're trying to get the Capaldi, the people who left during that era, and I always say Capaldi, it's not his fault. I should say Moffat. It's not his fault. Moffat era. My bad. You need to be extraordinary, and that sucks, but that's why you took the job. But maybe I'll see this one defense of Chibnall, but it's a weak one. Okay, it's a weak one. That maybe his hands are tied. Maybe writing Doctor Who is something you have to, after you get like, you have to do after you check off like 3 pages of checklists, like do not offend animals. Like, because we didn't want to offend the spiders. We really don't. They were just doing their job. They couldn't help it. They were bigger than they normally were. Forget the humans that died in the episode, but we were sad about the fucking spider dying. There was sad music, and the doctor goes, "I'm so sorry, but the people suffocated that the spiders killed downstairs were left down there, by the way, not talked about again." What the hell, Chibnall? Oh my God. You don't want to be gone too long, DJ. I am wrapping this thing up. I have a time limit on these things. So, yeah, less Clara. Well, there is less Clara. That is good, Tecumon Blade. You're right. There is less Clara. Oh, my God, Clara. You know what sucks? Real quick before I go. Clara was sold to us as a completely different thing. I don't know if you guys remember getting the Doctor Who magazine that I got that's like, here comes Clara, the computer whiz, sassy, kind of sexy, flirty companion. And that's what we got in one episode. Well, two. Okay, so we got it. Clara was best when she wasn't proper, Clara Prime. When she was in Asylum of the Daleks, she was absolutely charming, wonderful, great. In The Snowman, she was great. I'm all, okay, if this is like, and then, oh, just annoying and preachy and awful. I couldn't stand Bloody Clara, says Silver Spike One. Yeah, they screwed up. If they would have kept her, and Jenna Coleman's show, again, go back and watch Asylum of the Daleks. That was like, she's flirting with Rory. It's great, but maybe we can't have flirting on BBC anymore. Maybe that's a bad thing. Well, have fun writing your television with apologetic spider talk and no flirting. If you just want to make people sad all the time, that's fine. The Graham thing, like I said, Graham is wasted in this show. He's so well done. So Mr. Pink rules the Cybermen. Oh God. Don't remind me of that, Ed Brewer. Oh God. Oh geez. And Leftwich Stewart as a Cyberman. He comes back as a Cyberman and just waves to the doctor. Not like, kill me, I'm in this armor that's keeping me alive. That's like hell. No, he just flies away with Mr. Pink. Yeah, there we go. All right, I'm trying to keep these a little shorter for the people who watch these as a video. So I do apologize. Thank you all for joining me in the chat. If you want to continue talking about Doctor Who, please join me for the Nerdrotic Nooner every Monday at 9:30 p.m. Pacific time. And we can talk all the Doctor Who you want there. And, we can keep talking about like, what the hell are they doing with this show? It's sad. It's really sad. Yes, there's going to be the Defenders. There always is. I just warn people that, as I have somebody who's done this myself with many properties where I defended stuff, even while I knew it was bad, out of loyalty to the brand. If you want to be loyal to a brand, you want a brand to get better, you can't buy the stuff that's bad. All right. Now, is this awful, horribly bad? No, it's just very, very average. And I don't think they put all this money into Doctor Who promotion. They promoted the hell out of this to get, you know, average. The ratings might be better than Capaldi's era this whole season. But if you take a break and then come back with this stuff, it'll be right back to where it was. I promise you. All right, everybody. You guys, I am loyal to the Nerdrotic brand, and we are loyal to you. And you want to know why? Because we listen to you. Okay, we do. We really care what you say. And thank you, everybody. You guys are great. Best chat on YouTube. Again, our next show is the Nerdrotic Nooner. We'll be back next Sunday with Dr. Who. I'm probably going to go back into the evening. Sorry for switching times, but I actually had plans tonight, so I had to do this one early. And we're also good. If you like a show called Castlevania on Netflix, check it out. It's awesome. We will be reviewing it Monday night. May the small folks sing songs of your greatness. And thank you to our patrons. You're awesome.